5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance, big ups to Dana Holgorsen for coming in, hanging out with us in studio here. What a great, great season it was and hopefully will be again. And with the return of Clayton Tune, I fully expect it, especially the way that he progressed last season. I wouldn't have said that early last season, but certainly.
You did not say that earlier.
I didn't say it earlier last season. I wasn't going to sugarcoat it.
You know, he got a little love in the draft community about being a guy to look for next year.
He did?
Yeah. It was there was discussion about quarterbacks, the next group of quarterbacks, and his name is being mentioned now. So that's a big turnaround for him.
Oh, huge.
From a perception standpoint.
Huge. I mean, and look at for guys that came out of nowhere just the last couple of years. Like I said, Joe Burrow, Kenny Pickett. Who had Kenny Pickett as possibly the number one quarterback taken this year?
Nobody.
I know Bryce Young is the guy, but when you look at his 6 feet and 140 pounds, whatever he is,
he's over 200. He and C.J. Stroud are considered the two names.
Is he 200? Boy, he doesn't look 200.
Yeah, he's 200. He? That's not big. That's what Baker Mayfield is.
Oh, that's what Matt Corral is. Is that going to be your comp?
Baker is a little bigger.
Bryce Young, Baker Mayfield?
No. It is my comp for Matt Corral. It's funny. People get all upset. Baker Mayfield was the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
How could you? Oh, Baker Mayfield. Baker's become this. We demonize people so quickly. Baker, I don't think, is a great quarterback, and I didn't think he had a good year. He did play hurt. The year before, he played better, but he was the first pick. You know, we've gone through the whole, people just can't believe that Kirk Cousins could be a good quarterback. Yet they'll cite stats for everybody else, or they'll ignore bad stats and tell you another player is a good quarterback, even if he doesn't have wins. But then you have Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins is an above average NFL quarterback who's good in several games, but has games where he just craps the bed. And unfortunately, it happens in big games. So he's your worst nightmare because you have to pay him like a really good quarterback because his stats are so good, but you know that you can't rely on him to beat the best teams. That's the nightmare scenario. But to get to that nightmare scenario, you have to at least have a quarterback who can play. And the problem is Washington helped to develop Kirk Cousins, and then Minnesota paid the high number. So it makes Minnesota fans pissed off, like, we're not getting enough out of Kirk Cousins. Well, you're actually getting pretty good productivity. I mean, Justin Jefferson doesn't catch those touchdown passes accidentally. They're thrown by Kirk Cousins. The touchdowns for Adam Thielen come from Kirk Cousins, but it's just not making enough of a difference for Wentz. Not all on the quarterback, but he gets a lot of it. That's why the whole third-round Davis Mills thing is so important to Houston, because they're on easy street for the next 3 years when it comes to salary. They don't have to pay a crazy salary to a quarterback for at least the next 3 years. It's a four-year deal. 3 years. That's so big when it comes to being able to deal with Laramie Tunsil's contract and the money here and the money here. It helps you build faster.
Huge.
That's why I'm hopeful about the Texans for the first time in a long time, because all this draft capital, they're going to be able to build. Now, we're having a different conversation in 4 years, because some of these guys, if they do a good job, they're going to come due. And they're going to get paid a second contract. You hope.
I mean, that's a great problem.
Well, you
to
see,
have.
It's the problem the Astros have.
There's so many teams that get. Don't worry, we don't have to pay no second contract for your first or second rounder. What? That's a bad thing. You want second contracts because that means those guys are playing well.
Well, okay, it's tricky because I'm going to give you a couple names. Connor Barwin, he can get a second contract. I was okay with him not giving him a second contract. I didn't think he was. I thought he was good, but I didn't know if he was going to be worth the money they were going to pay him. Brooks Reed, they didn't give him a second contract. They let him walk. Rick Smith drafted some guys that were pretty good that he ended up letting walk. And I was conflicted by that, because on one hand you say, come on, Rick. But on the other hand you say, well, but Rick and the Texans have
guys,
to be smart.
You know who made second contracts? J.J. Watt, Dwayne Brown.
It has to be. I think
Kareem Jackson.
That's it. I think to be a second contract guy, you have to be reasonably paid, or you have to be a plus-plus talent.
Yeah.
Like D-Hop and Brown and J.J. and those
guys. Okay, who
wins
Super Bowls? Plus-plus talent.
Plus-plus talent wins.
Yeah, that's what wins Super Bowls. So
that's
what you
got to get. So you have to have those guys. And then, you know, what Rick had to do – and. You know, even if you want to kill him for it, if you look at it objectively, Connor Barwin, to be able to keep your core intact, you said, you know, you may have to let Connor walk and you go draft somebody else to take over his position. That's the nature of draft capital. When you're trading back, you're adding more players so that you can get rid of guys, and you say, instead of spending, you know, $12 million on a Connor Barwin, we're gonna go cheap and spend $800,000 to $1.5 million on this guy the next 3 years, and maybe we'll spend free agency to go get a safety. Or maybe we spend a little extra on this linebacker that we think has a chance to be a bigger impact player. It's a Sudoku, not Sudoku, but you know, remember that game where we had to slide, you know, you kept sliding the puzzle pieces around to try to get everything in order,
right.
The numbers in order. Or maybe you could say Sudoku. It's a never-ending puzzle where you're sliding money around based on the salary cap, and you got to figure out how much money do we philosophically pay quarterbacks, running backs, offensive linemen. Under Gary Kubiak, the advantage you had was Gary Kubiak believed that you could find centers and guards cheaper, but you spent early round capital on tackles. Well, the problem was when they were really good at the offensive line with Arian Foster, now you had to pay, okay, Mike Brizell. The Texans got him for cheap. Mike Brizell was a good guard for the Texans. When it's time for him to get paid, you had to let him walk. Chris Myers, you decided to pay. You drafted Brandon Brooks. He was cheap. He was a third rounder. At some point, you ended up letting him walk because of Bill had personality conflicts. He got paid in Philadelphia and then eventually was, you know, out of the league. But I don't know if Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith. Now, Rick worked with Gary, but Gary had huge say-so in that whole situation, and they had a system. There's a system in place. You know what the good thing is? Lovie has a system, too. Lovie has been a head coach at two places, and he has a defensive system. His defensive system is rush the passer. You don't typically pay first-round talent on cornerbacks, but we'll see. You know, Nick Caserio also comes from a system, too. And
those systems going to clash.
I don't know if they clash. I don't know if they clash. I know that Nick was used to getting personnel for Bill Belichick. Nick is now getting Cade asked this question. Well, why is Nick Caserio going to do something for his Lovie Smith, you know, who's not his forever coach? I think we need to look at Lovie Smith as being the coach until he's no longer the coach. I do not think we need to. This is not a David Culley situation.
No, you know what? And they got forced into this, too. They really did. First of all, the Flores lawsuit, which meant that you couldn't do McCown. The Culley disaster, which it was, to continue to pay that guy, just to be a puppet was just unbelievable. That's not how to go about this thing. That they were forced into hiring a real NFL head coach with experience. that knows the game, that actually deserves to be in that spot, that they were forced to do it, is going to turn out to be a blessing for this organization.
I think so, too. It may or may not work out for Lovie, but this guy, Lovie is going to get – you're not firing a guy after a year or even after 2 years, I don't think. Lovie's going to get a legitimate shot. Lovie is running this team like he is the boss, and he plans to be the boss for quite some time of what goes on. Obviously, there's a dynamic of personnel and stuff that's going to run through Nick Caserio, and I'm not 100% sure exactly how that's going to play out. But Lovie has a system, and for those who missed it, my NFL, my mock draft 3.0 is coming out. My two Texans picks were Evan Neal, who I just think is a smart pick at three. I have Trayvon Walker one, Aiden Hutchinson two, and I had Evan Neal three. I'm not buying into Thibodeau three. I do not think that's going to happen. I feel confident about that. 13, Evan Neal makes sense because you will have about an $18 to $19 million cap savings if you cut Laremy Tunsil after 2022. I think that's likely to happen, and Evan Neal can slide into left tackle. I don't care if he plays guard or right tackle this year. Just get a good offensive lineman. But pick number 13 is the real key, and I put Devontae Wyatt from Georgia there because he's a Lovie fit. He's an upfield defensive tackle who is disruptive. He can play the run. He's a good rusher. He has three down talent, and he comes from a football factory. I mean, he played on a system that you had to do your job so that other guys could succeed on a particular play. It was never about one player making a play. If my job is to fit it up as a linebacker and fit the gap and just take up blockers so that N'Kobe Dean could flow, that's my job. And every one of those guys did their job on defense. It was incredible to watch. They all did their job, and they won a national championship. And Devontae Wyatt, if you want to build culture, you get a guy who's used to doing his job and believes in the culture of our defense and our team. And so I think Devontae Wyatt, even though you signed Malik Collins and they play a same position, I think they could find a way to have both of those guys play at the same time.
Absolutely.
Just get good football players on the field.
All right, when we come back, if you haven't heard it, Cam Newton really ingratiated himself into the community. He's an ally. And we will talk about that on the other side right
an
here.
Ally is an interesting.
No, he's an
place.
Ally. On the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, we're talking about HRP. HRP.net, 281-880-6525. Those are my peeps. I was texting with Mike Holly yesterday, as a matter of fact. Love those guys. I'm serious. They're great guys. But that's not why you're getting your payroll and your HR company, because they're great guys. That's a benefit. They really are. Great people, and they're going to give you the square deal. They're going to come to your business, and they're going to customize a plan for you. Your business is not the same as the widget business down the street. They're just different. They have more employees, fewer employees. They have different needs. They have whatever the case may be. It's more difficult. It's more complex. Whatever the case may be, they're going to customize a plan for you, and they're going to give you a great deal. Now, the other companies are going to say, well, wait a minute. Our payroll's cheaper right here. Yeah. But then they're going to stick you with their benefits packages. They're going to stick you with their 401k. They're going to stick you with their insurance. And all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, this is a lot more expensive than we had thought. Well, that's not what HRMP does. HRMP does the payroll. HRMP does the HR. And then they give you options for all the other stuff, because they're not in that 401k business. They're not in the insurance business. That's not what they do. What they do is they give you and get you your payroll and your HR at the best price they possibly can, and let your business flow. This is what they're doing. They're doing it every single day. Find out for yourself. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Cam Newton, he's awesome. He was on an episode of Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. And this is the same guy that told you, it's so funny to hear a female talk about routes.
Routes.
Like, it's funny. Talk about routes.
And that immediately did not endear him to people. But even the Cam stands were struggling yesterday with some of his comments. Now, you'll have some people say, what did he say that was wrong? I've seen that too on Twitter. It's not a great look. Cam's not going to play any more football. He's been bad the last two times that he's been bad in New England. Once he got COVID, it was a wrap. He was bad in New England. He was bad in Carolina. Carolina fans are still trying to bring him back. These comments, now you have the ability to, you have plausible deniability to bring him back to any ownership that asks. Cam basically ended any chance of playing for a professional team yet.
So they got into a discussion about women. And here's Cam Newton. Now, he does use the B word a couple of times here. So people, if you got the kids in the car and you don't want to hear the B word.
Well, he says bad B. That's like a compliment, kind of. Cam.
Yeah.
He wasn't using it as
a. No, he didn't think it's a compliment. He doesn't think bad B is a compliment.
Well, he does at one point, and he said, I can't even do it. I'm trying to explain Cam is probably not the smartest.
No,
thing.
I'm not going to.
I probably should just let him speak.
Not going to translate it. Here's
speak
Cam.
With his word.
Yeah, here's Cam to on his own. Here's Cam Newton.
I grew up in a three-parent household, my mom, my father, and my grandmother. And I knew what a woman was, not a bad bitch.
Okay, what's the difference?
A woman.
Okay.
A bad bitch is a person who's just, you know, girl, I'm a bad bitch. You know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I look the part, but I don't act the part.
Okay.
You know, and it's a lot of women who are bad bitches. And I say bitches in a way, not to degrade a woman, but just to go off the aesthetic of what they deem is a boss chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a woman for me is handling your own, but knowing how to cater to a man's needs, mm-hmm. right? And I think a lot of times when you get that aesthetic of like, I'm a boss bitch, like I'm a this, I'm a that. No, baby, like, but you can't cook.
Okay.
You don't know when to be quiet. You don't know how to allow a man to lead.
So there are people who have a problem with you can't cook, you don't know when to be quiet, you won't allow a man to lead. That I noticed that didn't go over well yesterday.
Why?
I just noticed.
What's the problem here?
I noticed that didn't go over well in the comment section.
Did you happen to listen to this with your wife?
No, I was at work yesterday listening.
Were you listening? Yeah, I heard it on the afternoon show, Wheelhouse.
Yeah,
and I wish my wife was in the car at the time because it would have been.
She's a boss chick, though.
That's
what Cam was talking about. She's a real boss chick.
Well, she doesn't think she's a boss.
Right. She is one.
She is a boss.
Like Cam would admit it. Now, Cam would also probably want her to be quiet and let you lead.
Yeah, and that's what I told her, too.
Yeah.
I mean.
But no one calls you the Cam Newton of broadcasting. Maybe we should. You're the James Harden, where you can stay out all night and then show up at work. Maybe miss jumpers, but you're still there.
I never missed a jumper in years.
You're still here.
No, right.
And now you're the Cam Newton. You are the Cam Newton and James Harden of sports radio.
My wife did cook the other. She makes a great etouffee, which is so,
okay.
So she's a bad bee. She's a boss bee.
Yeah,
and she can cook too.
Okay.
Okay.
Does she know now? Does she?
The let's quiet.
Can we go through the Cam Newton? RJ, what was Cam's scorecards here? There was three things that you needed to do. If you're a woman, what are the, remind me what they are. We're going to run through the checklist with John. What was the first one?
He said, can you cook?
Okay.
Can you cook? Yeah, she can cook. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second one.
Do you know how to, do you know how to be silent?
Quiet.
Okay. Does your wife know how to be silent?
You know, when I'm talking, a lot of times she won't talk, so that's good. Yeah.
But does she know how to and when to?
When to be quiet?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
silent. I think he did use words.
Sometimes
silent.
When she's sleeping.
Not
she's,
just quiet
she's
down.
She's quiet when she's
silent.
Sleeping.
Silent. I think Cam used the word silent.
Silent. Well,
does that feel like Wendy?
Yeah, she's when she's sleeping, she's extreme, like a mouse.
I don't think that's what he was referring to.
You don't
to.
Know that that's not what he meant? And did she allow a man to lead? Yes, when we dance, I lead. Yes. Yes.
Lead the household. Lead the family.
Yeah, and I lead the family.
We're not,
too.
Not dancing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you?
Lead the family. Yeah. Yeah.
Would she say that?
Yeah, I don't know that
would she
my
do
kids
this?
Or
and like because if you watch the video, did you watch the video, right?
Yeah.
Cam gives you some he's got the long fingernail, the hand where you snap your fingers down to the bottom
he's got
of
the
your
hat,
hand. And he
the
has
cowboy
a look.
Hat on. Oh yeah.
Cam is like full Cam.
No.
But
Yeah. Now let's go with you. Okay. Now you.
Go ahead.
Go to your house.
Go ahead.
Okay, RJ, what are we
checklist.
Looking for now, the checklist?
Does she know how to cook?
Yes.
She knows how to cook. She's a good
Absolutely.
Cook. Absolutely. All right, RJ?
Does she know, this is so dumb, does she know how to be silent?
Hold on, I'm getting a call. I need to take this. Hello? Hello? Yes, okay.
Yeah. She, is
yeah,
she...
I'll come back on the next segment. I got to take this.
She's being, apparently she's not being silent right now. And what was the last time that let you lead the house?
She will. It takes. She will. She'd prefer I actually do more of it. Actually, now that I think about it, your kids.
Yeah, right.
Do I need to get my kids in line?
Can you do something here?
I think she would argue that I need to do more of that.
More leading.
Sometimes I have to ask her to do number two so I can do number three. It's hard to do number three sometimes. In any relationship, not woman or man, mm-hmm. but if somebody won't do the number two.
See, when you're saying do a number
be
two.
Be quiet. That Cam's number two.
I thought you meant drop a deuce.
No way. Cam's number two. Like, you know,
okay.
Be silent so I can talk and try to do number three.
I got
sometimes
you.
That happens. Okay. She would argue that I do that sometimes.
Right.
I think it takes two in my particular situation where I'm away from the house a lot for about 5 or 6 months. My wife does a lot more of the, and she's a forward personality. She's not a shrinking violet. Anyway.
No,
I wouldn't want her to be.
Neither of our wives.
Well,
neither of our wives. They're bosses.
I don't know. I've never been.
I call
with,
my
like,
wife
have you ever
boss.
Been with a shrinking violet? I had not been with in a lot of long term relationships in my life personally.
I don't want a shrinking violet.
I don't think I do either. But then I think about it, and I think,
be nice. That'd be nice.
I
a
like,
strong, silent type like the, would be nice.
I like what I have. I'm just saying, I never really given it a good thought. I'm like, I wonder what it's like. RJ, we know you don't have that. She's from New York. She's from, what did you say, Brooklyn or the
she
Bronx
ain't gonna be
or Queens?
Silent, right?
You know, she's from one of the boroughs. We already know you're not dealing with the... You've got one just like me and just like John. I guarantee you.
She picks and chooses her spots when she wants to talk, and then when she wants to be, you know, like a little bit more reserved, hey, you take the lead. Like, it's like push and pull almost. It's even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. That's how it's supposed to be. That's okay. Great. That is great. That's great.
Get married.
All right, when we
get
come back,
married and see what happens.
Scoop Jackson joins us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before you get to that, I just want to tell you, listen, go to Demeris.com, DEMERIS.com. And see their catering. And if you're going to order something from their catering, get their fried chicken. I'm telling you, it is awesome. If you're looking for some great fried chicken for your event, go to Demeris.com. That's Demeris.com. Right now, though, go to Gulf Coast Chevy.
Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. A lot of great offers going on right now. This is hot off the presses. This is the newest orders that you have going on right now, or the newest specials that they have going on right now. The Chevy 2022 Silverado 1500 LTD, they've got 0% financing for well-qualified buyers. Plus, now, during truck month, you get a $1,000 accessory allowance when you purchase with eligible accessories. Chevy find new roads on that one. But what about Buick? They've got SUV models with 0% financing for well-qualified buyers as well. And then finally, on most GMC models, I'm talking about most of the models they have in stock, or that are in transit right now that you can purchase, They've got 0% APR for very well-qualified buyers. This is an opportunity for you to find great finance rates currently going on for most models of GMC, for trucks on the Chevy Silverado on the Chevy side, and Buick, all their SUV models, 0% APR. This is another way for you to save money during this time where car deals are really taking, dealerships are taking advantage of you, not at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC. That's never the way Craig DeSerf moves, and I think you're going to really enjoy the experience, the car buying experience before and after the sale at Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick, GMC.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 933 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Scoop Jackson joining us from ESPN here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Talk a little NBA playoffs and what is going on. Scoop, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, family. How y'all doing?
Man, we are doing
wonderful.
Great. NBA playoffs are here. I just saw somewhere it said, I'm watching ESPN, and they said, oh, overreaction that people think that Philadelphia is going to sweep Toronto. Who thinks Philadelphia is going to sweep Toronto? Holy cow. Toronto won the regular season series, Scoop. Thibodeau in Toronto. What do you think of this series?
Yeah, I'm trying to wonder, did they just walk up and down Broad Street and take that pole? I think there could be trouble, and I think a lot of it just hinges on what James Harden, you know, decides to do. We haven't seen what used to be real James Harden in a while now, and we all know his history of how he tends to disappear in certain points in playoff series throughout his career. So you add that to the fact of what Philadelphia is uncertain of because he's never played for them in a playoff series. It's hard to predict what they may do in a series against a team that is balanced, that is focused, that is seems determined, that it, I hate to say it, seems hungrier as a team than Philadelphia does. So I don't know. I think we get caught up in this whole like two superstar, three superstar system and think that that works. And don't take all the other factors in consideration when we're talking about a team and what usually happens over the course of a seven-game series. And very, very seldomly do better players win series in seven games. Usually it's, you know, I'm pretty sure 90% of the time. I can't give you that data on that accurately, but, you know, it's usually the best teams that come out of seven-game series, not usually the, you know, teams with the best player or players.
Scoop, are we looking at the are we on the middle of the downward run for James Harden? Is this, it feels like based on the guy who's played as many minutes as he's played, Scoop, and he's been asked to take on a different role at Houston than at New Jersey and now a little different one at Philadelphia, but it does not feel like the same guy. Is life and basketball, is it beginning to catch up with James at this particular stage of his career?
See, I think you're being very, very generous with that. And I can, you must really be a James Harden fan. Now, I'm a James Harden fan too, but I think you're giving father time or, you know, minutes over the course of his career more power than I think they deserve. I think what's going on with James Harden is more mental than anything. It's not.
Well, also off the court. I mean, look, let's be real. James lives life off the court. At some point, that's going to catch up.
No, it's not even that. I'm talking about his ability to check in and check out when he wants to. And
yeah, that's
let's go
true.
Back to when he checked out in Houston and when he decides, even when he was playing some of the best basketball we had seen of this generation, he still took time when he just checked out. But let's go back to the last year in Houston. Once Daryl Morey, we can do a timeline on this. Once Daryl Morey was let go from Houston, James wanted out too. And he literally checked out. He's like, I'm done. We saw that immediately. He checked out until he basically made the trade and forced the trade and forced Houston's hands to get rid of him. And he went to a place where they wanted him to go. He got there in Philly, and he started. You know, you remember when he was playing point guard, when Kyrie was there, all right, they made things. He was sort of in shape, and he was engaged. He wanted to play. Then, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was the Kyrie situation. I don't know if it was, you know, once Daryl Morey got to Philadelphia and he saw that Daryl Morey had landed somewhere, and Daryl Morey publicly said when he got there, you know, I'm going to get James Harden here. It seems like he checked out again. And he rolled that out in Philadelphia and basically played like a shell of himself until what happened? He kind of got what he wanted, and he got renewed back with Daryl Morey. Now, the thing I think is that he hasn't been able to physically now get back to being in that James Harden. And maybe his headspace is gone, and maybe he's checked out too long that he can't check back in anymore at this level. I don't know. But to me, he's checked out enough for me to use that as the primary example of why we may not see the James Harden that we see anymore. It's like we used to say about the Lakers and other teams, like you can't switch it on and switch it off. And James Harden, over the last couple of years, has been, I don't want to say somewhat of a master of that, but he's been very, very upfront with him checking on and checking out, switching on and switching off. I think at this point he may try to switch on, but it may not work anymore. I don't know, because he wanted to go to Philly. He's still there, and he could be like, all right, the playoffs are here. I can check back on. So I don't know if it's father time. I don't know if it's so many minutes. I just think it's a mental situation. At this point, I don't know if he can mentally check it back on to be the James Harden that we've seen in the past, and especially during the playoff time, when even when he was switched on, he would have lapses that we were concerned about that at a certain point when he was the primary person on the team that would be the difference from that team getting out of a playoff series and not, you know, getting out of a playoff series. And if we're really being honest here, we don't know what his relationship is with Joel Embiid behind the scenes.
Yeah.
If that might not be clicking, you know, that could be part of the reason. Look, I think James Harden is one of the greatest players of this generation. If they had cut that NBA 75 down to NBA 50, he would still be on it. If we're really having an honest conversation about James Harden, James Harden's biggest problem is that he's a very moody basketball player. Very moody. Mm-hmm. So we don't know what we're going to get, especially at this time, because his mood dictates the way he plays. Is that fair?
Yep. Scoop Jackson with us here on ESPN.
It's just true.
97.5.
It always has been, yeah.
In 97.5 and 92.5. All right, Scoop, what's your favorite first-round series?
Play-in or first-round series?
Well, listen, if I'm sitting there and I'm Boston, there's a good chance I get the Nets in the first round. Is that fair?
Yeah. That's what I was about to say. I think the Nets are going to win, so that probably would be. But if I'm being 100% with you all, it's either a close that Boston-Brooklyn thing may be special. I was about to say, I'm really – if Luka is 100, then I want to see that. That may be the one that intrigues me the most. Because, you know, Dallas has a chance, but it's all predicated on the health of Luka. And, you know, you look at the history of what Utah has done over the last couple of years and how they've somewhat underachieved. It seems like they're the NBA version of Gonzaga. And here's a situation where there's almost as much pressure on Utah to do well in the playoffs as much as we just got to talking about Philadelphia. There may be massive changes if either one of them don't play well. And, you know, Luka has shown us over the last couple of years how dangerous he could be in a playoff series. And now it seems like Dallas has everything going for them, and they're playing really good basketball right now. So as much as Brooklyn and Boston intrigue me, and I still think that's number one, I'm going to have to say it's a tie, because if Luka's healthy, I really think that is, for me, that's the series that I really, really want to see. And I think will probably be the best one.
Who are your two favorites to get to
the come
finals?
Out of the whole thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, that's a good. I hadn't even thought that far deep into it.
What? It's good.
Well, no, I haven't. But I'll tell you this. I can tell you, I think this is going to sound crazy. If I got Phoenix at least in the finals, but hear me out. I think Phoenix has been on a mission to basically avenge what they felt was, you know, not a Milwaukee win last year, but a Phoenix loss. I don't think they feel that Milwaukee beat them. I really do think that, you know, hey, we lost, and that's a difference. And I think what we're seeing in Phoenix is basically the same thing we saw, and I want to get this year right. Maybe was it – when did 2014 the San Antonio come back and beat Miami after the Ray Allen shot? It was 2014, I think, they came back and went through the season.
Yeah, it was 14.
Right, okay. Well, they went through the season taking care of everybody, and once they got back to Miami, you saw what revenge looked like on a basketball court. You know, because that to me was one of the most dominating finals performances I had seen in a long time. So I'm thinking Phoenix is showing us the exact same thing. But here's what I'm saying. I have Phoenix winning it if they face Milwaukee, because the one letdown they could have is going through this whole season with their eye on avenging that loss last year and then getting to the finals and not taking that out on the team they want to take it out on. Like, they had the whole focus on getting back from Miami, and I mean, against Milwaukee. And then they get to Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's not there. And they go up against a team where all that revenge energy kind of succeeds, you know, takes a backseat a little bit, because that's not their initial target. And the other team could come in with, like, you know, hey, you know, we have something else. This is our first time, and it's our, you know, whatever. And that may throw them off. So my answer is, if Phoenix faces Milwaukee, I have Phoenix all day, probably in – they might end it in three. But if they have to face like a Miami Heat, if they have to face a Brooklyn, you know, if James Harden, you know, has some, you know, wake-up situation where he's like back to, you know, NBA top 50 and, you know, Thibault is playing ball and locking everybody up and Tobias Harris is hitting his shot, you know, if everything comes into play with them, they have to face a Philly, and Joel is playing at an all-star MVP level, then I can see that team maybe giving Phoenix a problem. But that's the best answer I can give you right now. But I really do say if it's Phoenix and Milwaukee again, if we get a repeat, then I have Phoenix. But either way, I think I have Phoenix in the finals. At least that I can give you.
Scoop Jackson, ESPN, right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Great talking some basketball with you, Scoop. We really appreciate it. Have some fun watching these playoffs.
All right, thanks, fellas. Appreciate y'all having me on. Talk
there
soon.
He is. All right, there's Scoop Jackson. When we come back, news of the weird, and it's getting weirder with Bob, with Uncle Bob. What's this?
Colonel Bob. Colonel Bob Sheridan.
Yeah.
Wow. He had some things to say yesterday. We could really do News of the Weird with just audio again from yesterday and as a refresher, and then his other stuff that we didn't even get to that was – this guy's cutting it loose right now. I would love to listen to him for as long as I could before he gets kicked out of all of every form of media, because he's pretty much done.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll do that right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. When you go to the Morley Law Firm, Morley, MorleyLaw.com, you go to the Morley Law Firm website, the first thing that they say is, we pursue life, liberty, and justice for all. And that's exactly what they do every single day. Hey, life happens, stuff happens, you get accused, maybe rightfully, wrongfully, even if you did commit a crime, you need defense, and you want someone who's going to give you their full effort and defend you as stringently as they possibly can. In Houston, I mean, listen, this happens all the time. Maybe you're the victim. Maybe you're the victim of an accident. Maybe you're the victim of an 18-wheeler accident. Maybe you're the victim of an insurance company that won't pay off. Maybe a wrongful death. Unfortunately, stuff happens, and you need a law team on your side. Medical malpractice, asbestos, DTPA claims, maybe immigration, se habla español, and they can help you out. And it doesn't necessarily just have to be any kind of immigration, Spanish immigration. It could be European or whatever the case may be. If you're having a hard time with a visa or anything to work here and you want to stay here, whatever the case may be, you need representation, and it's what the Morley Law Firm does. They have so many different branches, so many ways that they can take care of you. If you're looking for help legally, you got them. All you need to do is go to MorleyLaw.com, M-O-R-L-E-Y.com, 713-839-9955. You got a problem? Call these guys, let them take care of it. It's the Morley Law Firm.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Time for me to talk about Lucille's. You know, I think Chris Williams is great. He's a guy that I've known for a little bit. He's a local chef who's done some amazing things. I think it's his grandmother who has cooked for presidents. It's a very respectful showing. The name Lucille's, the company he has is in the restaurants is awesome, and the way it's founded and the food. But I think they're doing something even better than the food, and that's Lucille's 1913. This is really something that is satisfying. It's helping to feed those in need, and I'd love for you to be part of this and to take advantage of this opportunity to go play some golf and do something for other people. Lucille's 1913 is a nonprofit that feeds and nourishes Houston's most vulnerable communities. And they're doing this on April 18th. There's a golf, and it's coming up next Monday, a golf tournament. It's their second annual golf tournament. The first one was a huge success. Well, this one's going to take place at Herman Park. It benefits Lucille's 1913. Come out and join in on the satisfaction with celebrity golfers, complimentary beverages, and an exquisite 19th hole dining experience. All you have to do is register today online to find out more about how you can get involved. So get out there, play some golf, do it for a great cause, have some great food and fun and drinks. Go to Lucille's1913.com. That's Lucille's1913.org. Lucille's1913.org.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:52, not much time. And we got Colonel Bob. Colonel Bob yesterday was, we were talking about him. He was doing the play-by-play on
Paolo
boxing.
Paolo Malignani, who is a former professional fighter. It's three different people. It was two different people watching, or two or three, watching a boxing event, watching a boxing match, and they weren't even commenting on the match.
No.
They were saying wild, crazy stuff.
Only weren't doing any play-by-play. They were actually, Colonel Bob was going to call the Italian announcer a grease ball, and he stopped. Then he talked about how he can only use the N-word outside of, now he can't use the N-word anymore outside of his house. Or inside the
Definitely
walls.
Definitely not on the air.
No. He said, I can't use the N-word on the air. Okay. Yeah. And now they tell me I can't even use it outside the walls. Okay. So now he continues
People
on.
People couldn't believe he said this with his outside voice. Well, it wasn't just that. Apparently, there is a website I went to that has a list of some things. Here is him talking with Paolo Malignani. And I don't know if
Malignani.
No, that's not his line. I can't remember the guy's last name. Paulie something. And it was an Italian name.
Okay.
It's Paulie.
I don't think it's Mulian.
Yeah, I don't think it is. It's Paulie. It's Paulie M. It's Colonel Bob and some other guy. Colonel Bob starts talking about somebody trying to carjack him one time. And he's saying some things where a guy off the screen goes, "You shouldn't be saying this. You shouldn't say this out loud." Listen to it and you can tell.
Big Red Hook says you had a movie situation happen to you. You almost got carjacked by drug smugglers.
That's right. I did. That's how I got shot. But I killed eight of them that night in my vet.
They crashed their car.
Yeah. Well, no. Here's what I did. I got the guy.
Yeah, you know, Colonel.
My buddy guys say, no.
We can't even, we shouldn't be talking about this.
Truth.
You know what? Well, you know what? The short story is you almost got carjacked. You survived. We're happy you're here. And they ended up getting run off the road themselves.
Yeah, and I killed eight of them that night, which I wanted to get that in. And Dee Dee doesn't like that, so I got to stop talking about that. Mm-hmm. But there's eight dead men.
I love somebody
off the screen. Two Colonel different people are telling him, make it a short story. You ran some guys off the road. Yeah, and there's eight dead men. There's eight people who are now dead.
Mm.
Wow. Colonel Bob, he's at a point now where he's I don't care.
He don't care no more. What are you, crazy? Okay, Lance. All right, this is the nightmare. How about there's a company, that had $250 million people invested in cryptocurrency. $250 million. One guy had $500,000 in cryptocurrency with this company. Unfortunately, the president of the company died, and he was the only one that had the password. Everybody,
no!
Everybody loses their money. Everybody no! loses their money. Sorry. Yeah, our president died. No, sorry. You don't have any of your cryptocurrency anymore.
I could see that being a fake death.
Yeah. No.
Oh, how he died. That? He died. The money's gone. He's dead.
Do you want to fly?
Show me the body.
Do you want to fly into Canada at any time in your life? Maybe you'll visit Canada. You want to fly there?
Yeah. I mean, I've been to Canada
well,
before.
Well, there's a city called Mississauga. Mississauga. Well, she was the mayor there. Well, now they have made her the transport minister. She runs now the airports in Canada. She actually oversees and guiding Canada's largest airport. There's only one problem. She's 101 years old. Do you want to fly into Canada with a 101-year-old woman? I don't care if she's a woman or a man. She's 101.
I don't want to fly with anybody that's 100.
Do you want her running your airport, 101-year-old?
Well, I don't want her. She can run the airport, I guess. I don't want. If you mean run the airport as in air traffic control, absolutely not.
No, she's in charge of the whole thing.
I mean, what does that mean?
I don't need no goofy decisions here.
It might just be a thing where, like, I'm in charge here.
I don't want.
Maybe her son's doing it.
I don't want a 101-year-old running my fantasy team.
Her son's like.
Let alone running my airport. Dude,
what if somebody said, don't worry, it's her son. How old's her son? 77?
77? Probably 87.
Well, she'd have had that one. Hopefully not. It was a different time.
Back then.
Different.
You don't know.
Maybe not a 13-year-old mom. Maybe not.
It depends on where she's from.
Maybe not. Don't Colonel Bob. You are now James Harden, Colonel Bob, and Cam Newton.
All right, we're done. Paul, Vanessa and Galat are next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, let's have some tequila.
Maestro Dobel is top shelf tequila, but at more affordable prices. It has got a reasonable price point for being such a top shelf tequila. 11 generations of tequila makers have really fine-tuned the process, and it's incredible. They even started their own group variety. It's called the variety is called a Cristalino. And what a Cristalino is it's three different blends of tequila that are charcoal filtered. There's a special process and barrel and time frame. And what it produces is a clear tequila that has an unbelievable profile and finish. And I got two more people send me pictures of tequila. One was drinking it straight this week and loved it. Another guy was making palomas out of it. I'm just telling you now, when it comes to the tequilas at Maestro Dobel, you're going to find a type that is going to be right for you and for your flavor, the different profiles that are available. It's amazing what they're doing. Maestro Dobel, you can find it wherever fine liquors are sold. It's Maestro Dobel. Look for Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5.